Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, December the 2nd, and welcome to our commentary. We're going to be talking today about this latest disclosure by Elon Musk of Twitter related to the Hunter Biden article back in October of 2020. We'll talk a little bit about that because I think this is an explosive story that is going to be consuming a lot of conversation here over the next few weeks. But let me begin by referring you to an article that I posted this Friday morning over at the American Thinker about Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and some of her remarks recently on one of the late night talk shows, Colbert, I think it is, Stephen Colbert, or whatever it is. I don't follow those late night shows. I really haven't, frankly, since Johnny Carson. But anyway, he's one of the guys who do the late night shows. And she was on that show and suggested in some of her remarks, she was getting questions about inflation, and suggested in one of those remarks that maybe the problem is that the American people are spending too much money, that we're consuming too much. She kind of left you with that impression of why we have inflation. Of course, Stephen Colbert is not going to ask her any difficult questions, but what I would have asked her is, well, Madam Secretary, what about all the spending that your administration is doing? Isn't that inflationary? Madam Secretary, what about the energy policies that have driven up the cost of fuel in the country? So I thought it was a pretty sorry interview, frankly, and something that I cannot believe the secretary felt good later when she had a chance to listen to herself. So, you know, again, this administration doesn't seem to really know what they're doing, and they're driving a lot of us to a conclusion that this is not that President Biden is not surrounded by people who really understand the problems. And I think this lady, Secretary Yellen, is a good example of that. After all, just a few months ago, she was saying that she had not expected the kind of inflation that eventually came our way. So not a good performance by the Secretary of Treasury on one of the late night shows. You can read my post over at the American Thinker. Now, the big story Friday afternoon, Friday evening, is a disclosure by Elon Musk, who is now the owner of Twitter, as you may know. And he released some information. It's coming out gradually, so I think it's probably going to be out there pretty much by Sunday or by Monday, and it'll be something that a lot of people are going to be talking about. But the main issue is what happened in October of 2020 when the Twitter and Facebook had the opportunity to publish, or at least allow the users to publish, an article by the New York Post regarding a laptop of Hunter Biden that had been found somewhere. And the Twitter organization and Facebook as well did not publish the article. They refused to do it. And this had an impact on the election. You cannot deny that. Now, I cannot prove to you that Donald Trump would have been reelected had this information been out, been exposed. But I can guarantee you that it would have been a much more complicated topic for the Biden administration, particularly in the second debate when they were talking about Hunter Biden. Remember that there was a group of 50 experts or whatever who signed the document saying that this was Russian disinformation, and this is all part of a campaign of Russian disinformation. Well, that's not really what it was. And yet, you know, the Biden campaign was allowed to play on that, and the American people were not given the information that they needed to make an important decision regarding candidate Joe Biden. So where all of this stuff goes with Twitter, your guess is as good as mine. But I think what is becoming very clear to me, and I voted for Trump, but what is becoming very clear to me is that in 2020, Twitter and Facebook were not treating both candidates fairly, and that there were clearly advantages that they were giving to the Biden campaign. Whether that was enough to turn the election, I don't know. But it was a very close election. And you're talking about 50 or 60,000 votes in five states or something like that. And there has been polling data that came out recently saying that if Americans had known this information before the election, there would have been many who would not have voted for Joe Biden. Again, we don't know if that would have changed the election result. I think it would have, but I cannot prove it. That's just my opinion. But I think that the larger, more important point here is that Twitter became a problem in our country when it came to free speech. And Twitter has got to be corrected. And I'm glad to see that Elon Musk is doing that. But how will the American people react now when they realize that they were not given an opportunity or information about Joe Biden was not disclosed in the 2020 election? I don't know how they're going to react, but I know how I'm reacting. I feel pretty angry that information like that, I was not allowed to see it, or I was not allowed to report on it, because Twitter and Facebook basically put a lid on the information. That's not their job. That's not the job of Twitter and Facebook to put a lid on information. Their job is to put the information out there and let the users discuss the information. That's their job, and that did not happen in 2020. So I think this whole disclosure by Elon Musk regarding Twitter and Hunter Biden 2020, I think it's going to be very controversial and get a lot of airplay, got a lot of conversation here over the next few weeks. Well, the Democrats are apparently changing their primaries. You know, we've always had this Iowa caucus, which I never really understood, by the way. I don't really understand a caucus. It just seems to me to be too disorganized. But the Iowa caucus is something that I think goes back to the Jimmy Carter campaign of 1976, when he did real well in the Iowa caucus. And then since then, a lot of candidates have used the Iowa caucus to introduce themselves to the American people. But I've never really understood it. But the first primary that we've always had, of course, is New Hampshire. And now the Democrats want to change everything and make South Carolina and Nevada the first two primaries, because they don't believe that Iowa and New Hampshire are representative or have enough diversity to represent the Democrat Party. That may be true, by the way, when you consider the influence of African Americans and, you know, Hispanics and in the Democrat Party. That may very well be true, because there aren't that many African Americans in Iowa or in New Hampshire. But I don't know if they're going to be able to get away with it, because these, particularly the primary in New Hampshire, has such a history, has such a tradition, that I'm not sure they'll be able to get away with it. But that's what they want to do. That's what they want to do. Now, are the Republicans going to do the same thing? It'd be interesting. Be interesting to see if the Republicans have primaries on the same days as the Democrats. That has always been the tradition, but I haven't heard anything at all about the Republicans changing their primaries. I hope they don't. I think the New Hampshire primary is one of the best primaries, because in New Hampshire, you got to go door to door and talk to people, and it's a real test of a candidate's character or ability to listen and work with voters. So we'll see what that will bring. But the Democrats want to change their primary, the timeline of their primaries, and we'll see how that works out. I think it's a big mistake. I mean, I understand why they're doing it, because they want to get to South Carolina as soon as possible. But I don't know whether people in New Hampshire or New England are going to enjoy losing that first primary that has been up in New Hampshire for a very, very long time. Well, just a couple of quick things here. It's going to be a cold winter in Europe, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that they just don't have enough energy to heat their homes this winter. So it's going to be a long winter, and some of the countries are already making preparations for a cold winter. And I hear, for example, that there are going to be shortages, and they just don't have enough supplies. It's easy to blame it on Putin, but it's a lot deeper than that. Many of these countries, you know, fell into the whole thing about renewables. And renewables are a wonderful idea, but they've never really been tested to the degree that it takes to run a major economy or to heat a country. So We'll see how it goes, but the early results of it are that it will be a very cold winter up in Europe. It's going to be expensive in the United States, but it's going to be cold in many parts of Europe because they just don't have the energy to heat their homes this winter. A couple of things on this day in history that I wanted to leave you with. In 1961, December 2nd, 1961, Fidel Castro finally confirmed that he was a communist. He had denied that he was a communist. He went on Meet the Press here in the United States and said, I'm not a communist. Said it many times, but on December 2nd, 1961, he finally admitted what many of us suspected, that he was a communist. And he made a public speech and said, I am a Marxist-Leninist and I will be until the last day of my life. What's interesting is that people in Cuba were put in jail for accusing Castro of being a communist. That's what happened in the early days of the so-called revolution. They used to put you in jail if you said that Castro was a communist. Well, when he publicly said he was a communist, nobody was released from jail. So that's kind of an interesting twist. And on this day in 1973, Gerald Ford became the vice president of the United States. It was the first time that we had actually had a vice president appointed to the office. What happened was that Spiro Agnew was the vice president under President Nixon. He got into some legal troubles. He had to resign. So there was a vacancy, and Gerald Ford was appointed or selected by President Nixon to replace Vice President Agnew, and that, I believe, this was under the new 25th Amendment that had come out in 1967, and he became the vice president. He was selected by the president and approved by the Congress, and he became the vice president of the United States. Of course, as you may know, less than a year later, he became president when President Nixon resigned. But Gerald Ford, who had been a fairly successful politician from Michigan. He was in the House of Representatives, and I understand his ambition was to be Speaker of the House, but could never make it because the Republicans didn't have a majority. His ambition was to be the Speaker of the House. Well, on this day in 1973, he became Vice President of the United States, and as I said, less than a year later, he was the President of the United States. Gerald Ford from Michigan, a pretty good man that we were very fortunate to have at the time that he came along, because he was a decent man, very decent man, and the country really needed that after the Nixon presidency, and especially the Watergate scandal. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, everybody, and good luck to the United States. They will be playing the Netherlands over the weekend, and we hope they win so that they can keep on going. I don't know if any American team has ever gotten to beyond the quarterfinals, or whether they've made it to the eight, as they like to call them, or even the final four, I don't know. But this is an exciting American team, and we wish them the very best. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.